Familiar passage of scripture, and boy, they got done right at 11, so I guess they give me an hour to preach, so amen. But Luke chapter number 16, everybody's familiar with this passage of scripture, and just want to draw some things out of here today, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to us that are saved. And if you're here today and you're not saved, I hope it'll be a challenge to your heart. But beginning in verse number 19, the Bible says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died," and you ought to pay attention to verse number 22, "and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they persuade, though one rose from the dead." Dear Lord, we come to you in prayer this morning, dear God. Again, we just thank you for another great day in your house, dear God. Thank you for the great Sunday school hour, dear God. And thank you for each and every one that's here today, dear God. We know there's some that are out working, some that are out sick today. I pray you'd be with each and every one of them. And we just pray you'll hide us behind the cross for a little while this morning and guard our mouths. We don't say anything we should say. And just pray, dear God, you'd help us to be challenged through the Word of God, dear God. And that if there is anyone here, dear God, that is not saved and never put their faith and trust in Christ, that maybe through the Word of God today, you might convict their heart. And, dear God, you might just squeeze that heart and show them their need of a Savior before it's eternally too late, dear God. And, dear God, what a great reminder in this chapter, dear God, how that so many times we live our life day by day and never consider what tomorrow might bring, and how that death walks right beside of us hand in hand, and that death is no respecter of person, dear God. Any one of us today could be our last day. I pray, God, again, you just touch our and anoint us and fill us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, a very great chapter, very familiar chapter. One thing I will give you a little quick outline. You can write it down and go home. And if you're a preacher, maybe you can use it sometime. But one thing that this little passage shows you, and I, in verse 19 down to verse 31, is a contrast in their living. One man had it all, and one man didn't have anything. It shows you and I a contrast in their death, and that is in verse number 22. And then it shows you and I a contrast in their eternity. But yet the reality of it is it presents to me into you and I, one man, we were given his name Lazarus, and the other man, God chose not to give you and I that. He just said, look, here's a rich man that, in verse number 19, the Bible says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. You can just gather by that one verse, here was a guy that no doubt had everything that life could offer. No doubt he had everything that money could buy, and no doubt he just lived for the moment, lived for the day. And the reality of it is, he just got up every day, lived his life, and in his mind, he probably thought, "I don't need anything else life has to offer. I've got all the money in the world. I've got the finest clothes in the world. I've got everything that life can give me, and I don't need anything else." And boy, if that don't describe the world and time we live in today. We live in a world today where everybody never gives any thought to eternity, never gives any thought to death, and how that death is right around the corner. And the reality of it is, none of us are promised the rest of the day. None of us are promised tomorrow. The reality of it is, any of us could die at any moment. Amen. That is a reality. And that's what verse 19 down to verse 31 does to you and I. It kind of draws you into that reality that, look, whether you're rich and have everything life can offer, or whether you're like Lazarus and poor and don't have anything, the reality of it is, these men both died on the same day, according to the Word of God. They both had an appointment with death. that they could not avoid, and death didn't, it did not matter to death whether they had it all or whether they didn't have anything. Amen. And that is a reality. In the eyes of God, it doesn't matter whether you've got everything or whether you ain't got anything. When God decides it's time for you to leave, you're going to leave, amen. And you're not going to stop it. You're not going to prolong it. It's amazing. You know, we live in a society today where you can read articles where they'll talk about how that they're trying to develop a new medicine over here or something new over here and just trying to prolong man's life. Hey, here's the reality. You cannot. I don't care how wise a doctor you are. You're not going to prolong man's life. When God says man is going to die, man's going to die. If God says today is your day, my friend, you're going to leave this world today, whether you like it or not. And you know, many times you'll hear about somebody dying and you'll hear the family say this, well, they just weren't prepared. We just weren't prepared for this. My friend, nobody's prepared for that. But the reality of it is it could come at any moment. And I want to preach a simple thought today on the life and death of a great fool. I just want to enter in on the foolish man today, the rich man today, and preach a simple thought today on the life and death of a rich fool. Number one, the Bible says again, there was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Can I say number one, we see the foolishness in his living day by day. Here was a man that, again, no doubt gave no thought to eternity, gave no thought to death. He just probably got up every day of his life and just lived his life for the here and the now. If this was a man that you could put in our day and time, here was probably a man that spent his whole entire life. You know, we live in a generation today that don't give any thought to death, don't give any thought to eternity. From the time they get out of bed to the time they go to bed, I mean, you just see them all day long. You go in a restaurant and you watch, you got the daddy on the phone and you got the child on the phone and you got the mom on the phone, and boy, everybody's just locked into that device, amen, and they don't give any thought to what tomorrow may bring. They don't give any thought to the fact that I might die today, I might go out into eternity today. They just live their life thinking, man, I've got all that I want. I've got it easy. I've got the easy life. I've got it good. I've got everything that life can offer me. And the reality of it is, there's a gospel song out there that talks about how that when you and I die, they're not going to bring the bass boat. They're not going to bring the four-wheeler. They're not going to bring the car. They're not going to bring the house. The only thing they're going to lay in that casket is your dead body. That's the only thing they're going to put in there. When this rich man died, you know what he found out? All the money he had, all the fine clothes he had, everything he had that life had to offer him, wasn't going to do him any good when he took his last breath. I mean, when I'm laying in my deathbed, if I go by the way of the deathbed, I may be wrong, but I don't think I'm going to lay there, Brother Joey, and say, Miss Christie, you think maybe you could go get the house and bring it up here and get the car and drive it up here and go get all my clothes and bring it up here, and, you know, I'm prepared. The doctor said I only got a few moments to live, so, you know, bring everything up here. She'd probably look at me and say, are you crazy? I can't get all that up here in this room with you. But that's how most people live their life.
Right.
And I'm telling you, the longer I live, the more angry I get over it. But this is one of the biggest curses that Satan has put on our generation. I mean, we have a society today. I had a woman get mad and left our church, and amen, I was thinking, praise God, I'm glad you did, amen. But she got aggravated because every time I'd preach, she'd be back there. And let me just say this, if you ain't got enough decency to turn your phone off when preaching hour is acting, amen, leave your phone in the car and don't bring it in the house of God, and get your mind on the man of God and get your mind on the Word of God. But that's the society we live in today. I mean, they're even distracted when the preaching's going on, and they're sitting there, boy, they're looking on their phone. And here's what they'll tell you. Well, you know, I had an email I had to check. Well, you know, I've got to keep it close by in case I'm thinking to myself, what did we do all these years when we didn't have a cell phone? I think we made it by. I think we did all right. But now that we've got so attached to that thing that, man, we if we leave the house with that, we'll go 10 miles down the road and we'll think, oh man, I left my cell phone, I gotta make a U-turn, I gotta go back to the house. Well, what about all the years we didn't have cell phones? I think we were better off when we didn't have them than when we do have them. Because they are deceiving a whole generation to where this guy, no doubt this guy is distracted by, again, he's distracted by all the living he's doing, all the partying he's doing. I mean, in his mind, he thinks, I've got all the money, I've got the fine living, I'm not like Lazarus. Lazarus out there by my gate every day is a nuisance to me, and he's got all these sores on his body, but yet, man, look at me. I'm doing fine, I'm living good, and he's a fool in his living. I'm reminded of Proverbs 14, verse 6, another great verse. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. I'd say here was a man that was probably confident in his living. Here was a man that probably thought, I'm never going to die. I'm living life. I've got the easy street. I've got clothes. And just that one verse tells you and I a lot about the guy. There was a certain rich man with clothes and purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. You know what the Bible's saying right there? Here's a guy that had it made every day of his life. But nowhere in his life is he making any preparation or giving any thought, and that is the society. I believe we have more people today that die and go to hell over foolish things that get in their way and get in their life, and they get so distracted with everything that's going around them. That's why the Bible tells you and I to be aware of Satan's devices, amen, and that's one of the greatest devices he had. It's not the only one, but it's one of the greatest ones he had. And I'm telling you, we live in a generation today that is preoccupied with everything and never give any thought to death. My friend, you might want to give a little bit of thought to that. You might want to take a pause sometime in your life and ask yourself, where am I going to go? Here's a reality. The Bible says our life is like a vapor. It is here for a moment and then it vanishes away. And we live all of our... I remember my dad. When my dad retired, he told my mom, he said, you work a few more years and then you retire and we're going to buy us an RV and we're going to travel to North Carolina and Louisiana and we're going to enjoy our retirement and we're going to spend it with our grandkids and we're just going to enjoy life. Well, my friend, my dad never got to the RV. He never got to the traveling. Death come knocking on his door, and he had to depart. We make all these great plans of, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. My friend, you may not do any of that. And there comes a time where you got to lay down that stupid phone and get out from under that stupid television and take some time to get in the Word of God and begin to meditate and begin to ask yourself, am I ready? Do I know where I'm going? Here is a man that is just living life, living for the gusto. But can I say, second of all today, in verse number 22, not only do we see the foolishness in his living, but in verse number 22, and again, I told you you ought to pay attention to the verse, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham. Notice what the Bible said. He was carried by the angels. How much did God think about the other man? The rich man also died and was buried. Didn't say anything about no angels carrying him. You didn't know what else I see? Not only is he a fool in the way that he's living his life, but he's also a fool in his preparation. He gave no preparation for his eternity. See, the reality of it is today, whether you believe it or not, again, your life is very short. But eternity, whether you want to believe it or not, you know, people like to say all the time, and you know, the scientists of our day and time like to debate and argue and say, well, we just really don't know if there's anything after death. We don't really know if there's anything, my friend, according to the Word of God. It's either heaven or hell. You're going to one or two places, and eternity will be forever and ever and ever and ever. Your life here is about like that, but eternity is forever. And that's why you might want to stop sometime along the way and ask yourself, if I made any preparation for eternity. I'm also reminded of Luke 12, if you have time, you can turn over there, where Jesus gives you and I a parable of another rich fool. And if your Bible's like mine, that's the title of it. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruit and my good. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Here's another fool. He's thinking, man, I've built bigger barns. I've got plenty. In a way, you could say it this way. He's saying, look, I've got my retirement plan. I've built bigger barns. I've got plenty. I can just eat and drink and be merry. And life's going to be good. And boy, it's going to be all right. But there's that three little words. But God said unto him, thou fool. God said, you're a fool, buddy. You sitting here thinking that you're fixing to retire and you're going to eat, you're going to drink, and you're going to be married, and you're just going to live a good life. God said, oh, no. You're a fool, buddy. Why? This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. God said, here's a guy that is just a fool. He's made all the preparations for this life, but you know what God's saying? He didn't make any preparation for eternity. He had all that life could offer him, and in his mind, he's thinking, I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, I'm going to be married. Let me just say this to every young person in the auditorium today. You may not live to be 20, you may not live to be 30, you may die tomorrow, you may die tonight, and you got to ask yourself this one question today. Have I made any preparation for where I'm going to spend my eternity? If I died today, if I got hit by a car, if I died in my sleep, have I made any preparation for eternity? And boy, how you can take that and you can apply it to the lost. You can also apply it to the child of God. And that God is saying, here's a man that laid up everything he had, and he laid it up on this side of eternity, and he never prepared for the other side. My friend, there are going to be a lot of people that are saved and born again on their way to heaven that are going to stand there on judgment day only to find out they don't have any rewards. They didn't do anything for the honor and glory of God. They devoted all their time to this world, and they never made any time to prepare for the other world. My friend, I'm telling you today, there is another world waiting for you, and it's either going to be hell or it's either going to be heaven, but it's waiting for you. And you know, we live in a society today where everybody dies, and you bring them to the church, and you want the men of God to put them in heaven when they drank every day of their life, they cussed every day of their life, they cheated on their wife every day of their life. My friend, they're not resting in peace. That's one of the biggest lies that has ever been told to our society. You die and go to hell, you're not going to rest in peace. You're going to be in torment the rest of your life. There ain't going to be any peace. It's going to be agony on top of agony on top of agony that will never end and never go away. That's why you got to prepare to be absent from the body if you're saved, to be present with Christ. To be absent from the body if you're lost is to wake up in hell. And you're going somewhere. And contrary to what other religions want to tell you, and I understand the contrast of what we're reading here, but again, if you understand your Bible, you understand. But here's the reality. There is no purgatory today. There is no holding spot for you. When you die, that soul leaves that body, and it's either going to go to heaven or it's either going to go to hell.
Right.
Ain't nobody going to pray you into heaven. Ain't nobody going to pay the priest enough to get you into heaven. My wife's grandpa died. He was a devout Catholic all the way up until they put him in the nursing home, and he had got saved right before that. And so when he got ready to die, he got my wife's mother, and he said, look, I don't want you bringing me through the Catholic Church. I've given my heart and life to Christ. Bring me to the funeral home and get Joey and get Brother Robert Jordan and get them to preach the funeral. And I'm going to tell you, that was one of the hardest funerals I ever preached. Every Catholic in that auditorium was mad as all get out of me.
Amen.
I mean, they were hot. Because I got up there and I told him, I said, look, Mr. Edmund here, he got saved and he is born again and he is in heaven. And unless you accept Christ, my friend, you will never see Edwin again. You will wake up in hell and there is no purgatory. When I said that, boy, you could have dropped a bomb in the middle of that sanctuary. Amen. But here's the reality. That is a lie straight out of the pit of hell. And I remember one of her uncles come up after the funeral, and he said, Miss Connie, he said, I you know, y'all didn't pass Edwin through there, and they didn't do all the things that they do, amen. He said, but I tell you what I did for old Edwin. I went down there to the Catholic Church, and I made $100 donation on behalf of Mr. Edwin. I'm sitting there behind all that, and I'm thinking, you are an idiot, man. You're an idiot. You take your little $100 donation down at the local Catholic Church, is going to help Edwin. My friend, Edwin's dead. Edwin is gone. There is no more helping Edwin. He is wherever he went.
That's right.
And when you die, you're going to be wherever you go. It ain't no priest. It ain't no pastor. I've had people in my ministry come and I've told the story how that one guy I dealt with and how that he stood there in tears and he said, I don't know if my daughter ever really got saved. I don't even remember her really going to church. And I just have to believe that maybe if by bringing her here to the church and by somebody getting up and preaching, just maybe God will let her in. I'm sitting here thinking, sir, no. That ain't how this works. She's already, wherever she's at, she's there.
Right.
Bringing that body in here and me or whoever else is going to preach the funeral today, that ain't going to have any bearing on where she's at. When you take your breath, you're going wherever you go. You say, prove it to me, right? Right here in the pasture, the rich man died, and what does the very next verse say? And in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Just like that. There wasn't no, I'm going here and I'm going to wait a little while and maybe somebody will pray hard enough. Maybe somebody will give enough. Maybe somebody will, I had another friend in Kendra that I'd always do yard work for, and when he died, me and my wife went to the funeral. We got there. I told my wife, we're going to try to sit toward the back. I want to get out of here as quick as I can. I don't know about anybody else, but I get the heebie-jeebies when I go into Catholic church. I'm sorry. I just do. I don't like being in there. I don't like being around it. So I told her, we're going to sit toward the back. As soon as this thing is over, we're going to get out and we're going. But I'll never forget, and my wife will tell you, my face turned as red. She thought for sure I was going to stand up and say something, and I got to admit, I was about that close to doing it. But they had a young priest in there, and he come up, and he walked over, and they had a little box over there, and he opened the door on the box, and he walked up to the podium, and he said, now you're in the presence of God. And boy, that whole place went quiet. You could have heard a pin drop. And I looked at Miss Christian, and I said, so I guess this whole time they had God locked up in a box, and they decided to let him out, so everybody's going to go quiet. And then the young man gets up there, and you got a family here that is grieving, that just lost a dad and a grandpa and a husband. And here's a young man that walks up there, and he says, look, I'm just a visiting priest. I didn't know the family. I didn't know your father. He said, so I don't know if he's in heaven. I don't know if he's in hell. He said, but by talking to the family last night, I do believe that all the signs are in place. He was a good man. And he probably went to heaven, but I'm just going to tell you, family, if you'll pray enough, you can get him there. And that's when my face went beat red. I'm like, I'd love to just go up there and knock this guy out. You just bald-faced lied to this family and gave them a false hope and told them that, well, it's up to you now if you'll pray hard enough. I'm sitting here thinking he's already wherever he's going. The prayers aren't going to matter anymore. My friend, don't pray for them when they're dead. Pray for them when they're alive. Hey, I know this ain't popular this morning, but it's Bible. Hebrews 9:27. And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. James 4:13-14. James told you and I, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and it vanish away. James said, hey, you make all these plans. I'm going to go into a city and I'm going to buy and I'm going to sell and I'm going to do all these things. But then James said, now hang on, wait a minute. Your life's but a vapor. You may be here today and you may have all these grand plans. My friend, your life's but a vapor. Yeah, Brother Joy, I'm going to retire. I'm going to enjoy and that's all of us at work today. That is our goal in life. I'm going to retire one day and enjoy life.
Amen.
But isn't it amazing? Most people that retire within a couple of years, they're gone. They're gone. They're out of here. And they make all these preparations for, boy, I'm going to retire. I'm going to live on Easy Street. I'm going to have the good life. And they never make any preparation.
Right.
And again, I'm going to hit it again. That's our world today. Just right here. Never think about eternity. What's the latest fashion? What's the latest gossip? What's the latest news? Who's putting something on Facebook today? What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? And we're so consumed with this life, and we're not even thinking about the next life. Many of us in here today that are saved, we are so consumed with this life, and we're not even worried about the next life. And dare I say, the next life far more important than this life. If you're lost, the next life is going to determine where you spend, and that's going to be hell. If you're saved, you're going to be with Christ for all eternity, but what you do on this side will determine how you're rewarded on that side. Most people live their life trying to get their reward here. My friend, I'd rather get my reward over there. I'll give you one verse and I'll move on. Job 14:1, we all know it. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Boy, we can amen that verse. He said, look, not only is he a fool in the way he's living, not only is he a fool in his preparation, but the Bible goes on, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and I don't have time to dive in it. But you know what verse 23 is teaching you and I? Many people think, well, you know, I'll die and I'll just go to the grave and that'll be the end of it. My friend, here is a man that died and his soul went to hell, and he had all of his senses.
Right.
He could still feel. He could still see.
Right.
You say, how do you know? And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. My friend, if he couldn't feel anything, why do you want some water on that tongue?
Right.
He could feel. Which brings me to point number three. We see a foolish request. He said, look, I just want some water. He only realized the foolishness in his request because guess what? There ain't no water coming. Because the very next verse, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime... You know, Abraham, you can say it like this. Abraham's a good preacher in that he just kind of drives the sword in a little bit. He said, hang on a minute, buddy. He said, hold on a minute. He said, don't you remember how that in thy lifetime... receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted. He said, hang on a minute, buddy. He said, don't you remember all the good things you had in life? You had all them good things, and you walked by Lazarus every day, and Lazarus didn't have nothing.
Right.
And you thought, man, life's good. I've got it all.
Amen.
Abraham says, but now guess what? God's done reversed the roles on you. Because now you're the one being tormented, and Lazarus is being comforted. You see the contrast in the death? One man dies, and he's carried by the angels. One preacher said it this way, and I wrote this down, it's very good. He said, you can die and be carried away by the angels, or you can die and we can throw dirt on you while you wake up in hell. He says, really up to you. How true that is. But here's a man that's making a foolish request only to find out that guess what? There's no water going to come.
Right.
Which tells me today that apparently there is no water in hell. 2 Thessalonians verse 1, chapter 1, 7 and 8, we know the verse. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angel. And I understand what He's talking about, but a lot of great truth right here. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what you can say about Lazarus here? Lazarus, you've been tormented all the days of your life. You've had the dogs come lick your sore. Wouldn't nobody help you? Didn't nobody care about you? And you were troubled in this life. But boy, now you're comforted and now you're in a good place. But oh, Mr. Rich Man, you're suffering the wrath of God. The wrath of God is very real today, neighbor. I'd much rather have the grace of God than ever have to face the wrath of God. You say, what's the worst thing about hell? You know what the worst thing about hell is? It is eternal separation from God. From a God that loved you, that cared about you, that gave His only Son to die on the cross for you. I mean, God made every... You know, people will say to you, your God is a mean God, and that your God puts people in hell. My friend, God doesn't put anybody in hell. If you die and go to hell, you put yourself in hell. Because God says to you and I, I've made every preparation and every way available through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, my death, burial, and resurrection made a way for you. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be a fool. You don't have to be like this guy. But the ultimate reality of it is, the decision is up to you. Here are two men, and one made a very stupid decision and made no preparation and wakes up in the flames of hell to only find out that, guess what? Help was not coming. You know another thing that verse shows you and I and tells you and I today? There are no exits in hell. You know, AC/DC sang that song years ago, I'm on the highway to hell. The whole gist of the song was about I'm on the highway to hell, and I'm just living life and living good, and when I do come to death, amen, I'll just go to hell, and we're just going to have one big party. There's no party in hell. The only thing in hell is torment. And notice again the word that he uses here. And in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. So apparently there's more than one torment. I won't get into it, but I do believe there may be different degrees of hell for people. You can agree or disagree. But I believe there's going to be different degrees of hell for people. I personally believe that people in America that die and go to hell might have a little bit worse than people that lived in other places. Because we've been saturated with the gospel. And yet we live in a society today where nobody gives any thought to it. Last of all, I'll say this in verse 26. And not only do we see his foolish living, his foolish death, not only do we see the foolishness in his request, but verse number 26, and besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from you again. He's saying right there, my dear friend, there is no exits in hell. And can I say, last of all, we see the fool's reality. Say, what's the reality for this man? The reality of it is guess what? There's no second chance. There's no do-over. My friend, what Hollywood tries to show you on TV is not very much true at all. I'd go so far as to say this, there ain't no truth in it at all. You're not going to come back. You know, Brother Brent, it's like, you know, you may not be like me, but I take humor in some of these. You know, somebody will die and they'll put a picture of their family on Facebook and they'll say, oh, he got his wings. I'm like, where's that anywhere in the Bible?
Right.
I'm talking about these are people that go to church every day and they put that on there, and I'm thinking, you don't know anything about your Bible. Even if he did go to heaven, he didn't gain any wings.
That's right.
I'm saying we live in a foolish world today that take the Word of God, they just twist it all up, and you know, oh, my loved one died and he's going to come back as a cat or a dog. Like, you idiot, really? I mean, you really believe that? I mean, have you ever read the Word of God? Where did you find that in the Word of God? That's kind of like one guy come to me one time, and boy, he was all upset. He said, Brother Joy, I need to talk. We got to have a meeting. I'm like, Brother, what is the matter with you? He said, all my life I believed that my dogs, when they died, that all my dogs went to heaven. I even see the movie, All Dogs Go to Heaven. He said, and I had a preacher tell me that none of my dogs went to heaven. I said, well, I don't want to tell you, brother, that the preacher was right. Your dog don't have a soul. But that's the crazy world we live in. Where we want to take the Word, and we took the Word of God and twisted it so much today, and here's what we say today. Well, you know, everybody just goes to heaven. Find that in the Word of God and bring it to me and show me. And I'll get up and apologize tonight if I'm wrong, but I guarantee you, I bet $100 I'm not wrong. And you're not supposed to bet, but I'll even get you $100 I'm not wrong. Nowhere is that found in the Word of God. All go to heaven. This guy apparently didn't go. And here's what he's going to find out. I believe he's still there today with everyone else that has went there. Revelation 20 and verse 11, we see the fool's ultimate reality. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their work, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. One commentary said this about verse 14, you can die once and be present with Christ, or you can die and wake up in the flames of hell only to be brought out and be judged and then be cast into the lake of fire. You can die once and be with Christ, or you can die twice. Up to you. But the fullest ultimate reality is this. There's never going to be any escape. I don't know how it's all going to play out. I believe we'll be there, and I believe we'll see our lost loved ones and people that we knew. I firmly believe that. I don't know how all that's going to play out. But could you imagine being brought out of hell to face God or to face Christ only to think, well, maybe I'm getting a second chance. Just maybe, maybe. One preacher said it this way. At the judgment seat of Christ, there'll be a rainbow, which speaks of the grace of God. At the great white judgment, there will be no rainbow because there will be no grace. You had your opportunity for grace and you rejected it. I wouldn't reject Him today, my friend. He's made every provision for you and I. But the choice is yours. The choice is yours to decide. Do I want to die and wake up in hell? Or do I want to die and wake up in the presence of my Savior? That's why Paul said to be absent from the body, to be present with Him. I would rather be present with Him than to ever experience one touch of one flame of hell. If you'll stand as Brother Mark comes.